Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A return to a little more wintry weather is forecast for the western interior. National Weather Service meteorologist John Cowan says a low-pressure system coming in from the Chukchi Sea is expected to spread snow over a wide area west of Fairbanks.
It's mainly along a line from Bettles to Tanana down to McGrath. In those areas, we'll see a slow accumulation over the next few days.
Winter weather advisories predict accumulations anywhere from 2 to 7 inches over an area spanning from the Brooks Range to the Alaska Range, with heaviest accumulations at higher elevations. Weather in the eastern interior, including Fairbanks, is forecast to be dry and warm this week. The Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly has created a regional emergency services advisory committee to improve fire and ambulance service across the borough. As KUAC's Robin reports, the committee approved at Thursday's regular assembly meeting will be overseen by presiding officer Matt Cooper.
Only one person commented on the measure at Thursday's meeting, Dave Niebert, who is a commissioner for the Steis Fire Service Area, although he spoke for himself.
I think it has the opportunity to improve the MS and fire the way you're proposing to be set up under the assembly. I think it's a good way to go.
The borough's 5 fire service areas are Chena Goldstream, Esther, North Star, Steis, and University. There are also 2 city, 2 military, and an airport fire department. Although a lot of the system works very well, with each department supporting others, there are still inconsistencies, shortages in one place and redundancies in another, and seldom enough ambulances in the right places at the right time. Last fall, a controversial proposal to consolidate fire service commissions riled up representatives of the fire service areas. At a day-long work session in March with the Assembly, fire service commissioners and fire department personnel hammered out a lot of those kinks. The proposed committee under the Assembly will have 2 people from each fire service area, 2 specialists in fire and emergency medicine, and someone to represent rural areas. At Thursday's Assembly meeting, member Leah Berman-Williams added a clause in the ordinance to include someone to represent urban areas.
One of my concerns from the work session, we're trying to establish a regional committee to address issues involving fire and EMS, but we were excluding the cities.
That amendment passed, and the whole ordinance passed unanimously. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
The state is rolling back a stricter PFAS drinking water contamination standard implemented last year. In fall of 2018, the State Department of Environmental Conservation announced that it would consider the combined total of 5 common PFAS compounds to determine if water exceeds an Environmental Protection Agency health advisory level of 70 parts per trillion. The change resulted in reclassification of water previously considered safe, requiring alternative drinking water to be supplied to more residents of areas where groundwater wells are contaminated by PFAS-containing firefighting foams. It was publicly seen as a positive step in light of a growing body of research tying the chemicals to a range of health effects, including increased cancer risk. But the DEC reversed course under the Dunleavy administration. Here's Dunleavy-appointed DEC Commissioner Jason Bruni speaking last month at a Resource Development Council event about PFAS.
This was something I had never heard of prior to December 3rd on my first day.
Bruni said he has come up to speed on the chemicals and the threat they pose.
This stuff doesn't break down. It bioaccumulates. It causes cancer.
But Bruni, who's previously worked in resource development, also announced suspension of development of new state PFAS regulations.
We have decided to pull that reg package, and we are going to follow the lead of the EPA.
Bruni pointed to EPA's February announcement of a PFAS action plan, which DEC Director of Spill Prevention and Response Denise Koch says promises a decision on a maximum contaminant level.
In this calendar year, 2019. So since EPA has taken a leadership role on this issue, we decided to sort of halt for a moment.
Koch says for the meantime, Alaska has reverted back to the EPA's current standard.
Their lifetime health advisory, which is a sum of 2 PFAS chemicals, PFOS and PFOA, at the 70 part per trillion level.
70 parts per trillion is, we know now, much too high.
Pam Miller is executive director of Alaska Community Action on Toxics, which has been pushing for the state to set a stricter PFAS drinking water standard. Miller cites a growing body of research about the chemicals.
The Centers for Disease Control found health impacts at the low part per trillion level. We know, for instance, that there are immune effects in children at one part per trillion.
Miller refers to several other states with PFAS groundwater contamination, which have set more restrictive drinking water standards. The Federal Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry is in the midst of a large-scale human health study related to PFAS exposure. Asked why Alaska would not err on the side of caution, the DEC's Koch points to unanswered questions.
Well, there's a lot of uncertainty on the issue of PFAS, and that's why states have been individually grappling with this issue.
Koch notes that any Alaska property owners who began getting alternative drinking water while Alaska had the stricter PFAS standard last fall will continue to receive it, and that only new sites identified as contaminated will fall under the less stringent federal standard. I'm Dan Bross.